Meanwhile, back to business here in Dublin, Ireland. And we spoke yesterday about the fact that Carrickstown has been emptied into the Late Late Show studio tonight to celebrate 25 years on the move. And I mentioned Lorraine Malloy, the actress. Yeah, do you remember Lorraine Malloy? She was played by Maeve McGrath.
Yeah.
And I was saying, sorry, Simon Delaney joining us live.
Daughter,
Yeah, exactly. So Simon Delaney live in the Chip Van.
Good morning.
And so I was saying yesterday, do you remember? Because I was watching a kind of reeling in the ears of the Fair City, and that scene with she had that some great moments.
That's right. Yeah.
And I was saying, where did ever happen to her? So she emailed to say. People on the school run tell me that there was a Fair City discussion on the show this morning, and you were wondering where I had disappeared to. Although poor Lorraine died, I'm alive and well. I'm still working as an actress and have just finished filming Column to Beans Brooklyn. Are you in that too?
No,
with Saoirse Ronan, and the other hat I wear is producer programmer, and I am currently programming films for the Bram Stoker Festival in Dublin, of all things. I still keep in touch with Jimmy, as played by David Mitchell,
who lives in New York now.
And other members of the cast. And I was delighted to see that Dr. Eddie Nessens, is recovered from his cancer scare. I met him in 2011, and he was well. Loved the show. Bestest. Maeve, how sweet of you to get in touch with us. And I was, because I had been saying, kind of always kind of fanced her a little bit when I watched the show back in the day. But no, that's, you know.
Well, you're only human.
Well, that's, you know what I mean?
She's a very good looking girl.
There's nothing wrong with saying that. It's just a matter of observational fact rather than anything else.
You're just reporting the facts, right?
That's what we're trying to do here.
That's what you're here to do.
It's like Sky News, but in a kind of peculiar
Breaking
way.
Breaking news.
But anyway, Maeve McGrath, that's where she is now. Thanks for that. Hey, Simon, you are involved in the Cannonball Run, aren't you?
I am, but you said you already got a ride in a BMW. I got a cup of tea. I must have been in a wrong queue.
You're in the wrong queue. There was one just over there on the left. Yeah. You have to... You get the wallet out.
Near the Arabs.
Near the... speaking of which, are these Arabs...
These two fine gentlemen, the Grafton Barber, God bless them, these two... I was going to say Egypts, but I'll be polite.
No.
They're dressed as Arabs, dodgy Arabs, I would have said.
That's
who I'm accompanying today in a very subtle orange Lamborghini.
Which is, I think I saw them driving in a bit earlier on.
Yeah.
Okay, so are you? It's on fire. How did they? Hence the orange.
Yeah.
It came in blue. How did you get roped into this thing?
That fella standing there, Hugh McAllister, who owns the Grafton Barber, he's been part of the Cannonball since it started here, and they do the European Cannonball as well.
Okay.
And he's regaled me of stories of late nights, Bible readings, that kind of stuff that happen on the Cannonball Run. You
I
know,
believe it's very, very sober.
It's very spiritual, apparently, the experience. Yeah, yeah. It's counselling, really, for
moving.
Men. Yeah, it is. Yeah. Yeah, so he said, look, if I was missing something in my life and I needed, you know, to get away for a day and just reflect on how busy life is and that.
And to reflect on the beauty of a busy house full of children and a wife. And you need to remove yourself from that to appreciate it all the more when you get home.
Yeah. Just take some time for yourself, Ryan.
With
150 people in supercars and driving around Ireland and having a few libations as you go around.
It's all good fun.
So that's why I'm here. And my knowledge of cars is staggering.
Well, it's funny. Staggering. I think staggering is a very good word to describe your knowledge of cars, because it is staggeringly nearly as bad as mine.
I can tell you the configuration on the Lamborghini is 60 inches. I can tell you that the cylinder bore is 3.5.
And 3.5 what, Simon?
If I just scroll down here.
3.5 what?
I don't know.
You don't know? Simple question.
I don't know. I know how to empty the ashtray and put petrol in it. That's about it. You know what I mean?
The two of us were like the odd couple walk around going, he said, what's that? I said, that's a blue one.
And it has a black stripe.
That's a red. That's a bumper.
Yeah.
That's a bumper. And
some gorgeous looking cars here, though, aren't they?
Oh, cars.
In fairness, you know what I mean?
No, there are loads of cars.
Cars, Ryan.
Loads of cars.
There are cars here, Ryan.
I know.
Look out the window.
It's so funny with the lads. The lads with the...
Yes.
You know, with their phones out and they're very excited.
What are they snapping?
The odd car and the odd as it happens. Let's talk a bit about you. You have just finished shooting Trolley. Tell me about Trolley.
Trolley is a comedy series that's been on Sky One now for, I think this was the fourth series. It's a comedy set in a supermarket, hence the name Trolley.
Good name for it, actually.
And it's Jane Horrocks was the lead in it for a couple of years.
Oh, yeah.
Stephen Tompkinson is back in it now. Very funny show. And I went over and played. It's set in a supermarket called Valco, which is a chain of supermarkets, and I went in and played the owner of Valco, who's an Irish fella.
Good.
Not a very nice boss, but so I went over and spent 3 weeks there doing a couple of episodes of that. So
fun,
great crack.
Fun or work?
Fun.
Was it fun? Yeah. Nice crowd.
Yeah, lovely crowd, lovely people, great scripts, very funny, and they kind of let you off the lead a bit, so you can kind of
improvise a little bit.
Yeah, you can. Well, just in terms of what you can do with the character, they said to me they wanted him a bit shouty. Asher Tal is the producer of the show, the man who produced The Office.
Brilliant.
And I spoke to him before I went over, and he kind of said, kind of the shoutier the better.
Oh.
Bigger the better. And it's not often a director tells you that. You know?
Are you using your own Irish Dublin
I've had
drawl,
to work on that,
or
yeah,
did you
yeah.
have to go for it?
No,
for
he's
country,
a dub.
Or?
He's a dub, yeah.
He's a dub, okay.
Brendan O'Connor's his name, yeah.
Oh.
And he's boisterous, and he's big, and he's brash, and yeah. So it's not the most subtle of my performances. Mind you, I played an alien, you know, so
yeah,
subtlety
of course you
is
have.
Really
no,
my
you,
repertoire.
You
could,
what's it, Zonad?
Zonad, that's yeah. So an alcoholic alien.
An alcoholic alien. The Irish alcoholic alien.
Yeah, it was a red PVC.
Yeah. There's a few of them here too today. But
in fact, there's one there.
Yeah, as, no,
that's not a PVC tooth though, is it?
Who's that?
She's an angel, apparently.
She sure is. She is.
I know. Do you know who? And that's Aladdin beside
Aladdin
her.
There. Very Irish looking Aladdin. That's
yeah, he's like porcelain.
He's a bit pasty looking for
he
that.
He needs a couple of hours of dolly mount. Oh dear.
Get that man a 99.
Nice feather.
No, okay. So that's Trolley's looking good. When are we going to see that?
That's spring next year.
Okay.
Series 4 is spring next year.
You had a very subtle but enjoyable role in The Fall. I quite liked that. I'd like to did they expand that more for season 2?
I wasn't in season 2.
I'm sorry to hear that.
I clearly didn't get the script where my character fell down the elevator shaft. But
that
no,
bit.
Yeah, that did bit. No, I wasn't in it. I don't know why. It was very enjoyable. Great series, critically acclaimed, beautifully shot, great cast. Gillian Anderson was incredible in it.
You wouldn't have shot any scenes with Jamie Dornan, really, would you?
No,
given
no.
the role you had.
No, we didn't We didn't come across him at all. Met him a couple of times, lovely fella.
Yeah.
He has nothing going for him, in fairness. He's uber talented. He's very easy on the eye.
Yeah.
Lovely fella.
He's never going to really go far, is he?
He must be miserable.
Miserable. I'd say very
And
unhappy.
Now he's doing that little thing, 50 Shades of Grey. So that'll do no business.
That'll bomb.
Yeah.
So that he might get a day and a half in the Lighthouse in November.
Exclusive release. You know? No.
For hipsters only that afternoon.
He must be miserable.
I'd say.
Yeah. He was lovely. But that was a great experience. Great show.
Yeah. And what a show.
So I don't know what happens in series 2. I'll have to watch it now. see what happened to me.
Find out, see what happened with the rest of us.
Yeah.
Movie wise, obviously, we spoke ages ago about the delivery.
Delivery Man.
Delivery Man was Vince Vaughn.
Yeah.
And then what? Have you been kind of getting busier since then?
I've been over and back to the States. I went over for pilot season in April and did a few bits and pieces over there. It's kind of a long road, Ryan. I'm still auditioning. I have an audition on Monday for a thing in the States and just keep knocking at the door.
Yeah, of course.
You know, it didn't open any doors for me in terms of that, you know, here he is now, you're in. I mean, the movie took almost $40 million, but which was considered not great.
Yeah.
$40 million.
You'd think though, wouldn't you? But it's a calling card though, isn't it? I mean,
yeah, it's great. It looks great on the showreel and, you know, my agents are now able to talk to me in terms of, you know, he's done, you know, The Good Wife and Touch and now Delivery Man, but we're still knocking on the door. But there's other stuff happening here that's keeping me busy, which is great,
which is tremendous. You talked before about doing auditions through Skype and things.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
Is that still part of
Skyping,
your life?
Self taping. Yeah, it's made the world so small, which is great because it means I don't have to be there. You know, I don't have to be away from home. I can, for example, now I do an audition on Monday. I go to my agent's office in Harold's Cross. I'll do the tape there. We'll edit it ourselves, stick it on Vimeo, and they have it in LA straight away.
Yeah, so you're not running around like a blue arse fly trying
exactly,
to keep it all together.
And you're also not away from home.
Yeah, which is true. How many kids have you got?
Three,
and
under 8.
Under 8, yeah.
It's busy. Basically like Fawcett Circus without the elephant shit, really. Pardon my language.
No, I understand.
You know what I mean?
I understand entirely.
And sometimes there is that.
Who brought the elephant? But it's non-stop.
It's mayhem with the kids.
I can imagine.
We had a great episode with the 2-year-old yesterday.
Go on.
Yeah, who caught his hand in a patio door. Nail went black, swelled up, brought him to the doctor. So the doctor basically took out a paperclip and a cigarette lighter, lit the paperclip and straight into the middle of the nail.
You're joking.
And it deflated and everything came out and he was fine.
So did the nail stay on the finger?
Yeah, it's still there.
But stopped.
And a hole in the middle of it, yeah. Because it had swollen up now. It was like two black grapes under his nail. It was huge, his finger. God love him. And in he went, lit a paperclip. Yeah, very hygienic.
That is... That's kind of old school.
Yeah, that's old school.
Isn't
this
it?
Is that. That's,
like, I mean,
that's
Victorian.
Edge schools.
That's edge school.
But yeah, no, it's mayhem with them. But
and how was the young fellow with the?
He was grand. Not a bothering him. We call him. There's kind of him shaped holes all around the house. He literally would run through a brick wall.
He's one of those.
Isaac. Yeah, he was. We were on. I was on the late 2 days after he was born.
I remember.
And we put up a very cute picture of him. He's still very cute. He's a little bigger now though.
Yeah, of course.
So they're keeping me busy, and I have a couple of new companies that I just set up, which is fantastic. That's keeping me, kind of. out the door. I've just finished directing my first TV commercial.
Congratulations.
Which is kind of, I'm trying to get in behind the camera.
Did you enjoy that? Did you?
Loved it.
Totally different scene for you.
I just loved the process because it was a commercial for the lads, for the Grafton Barber.
Yeah.
And to be able to be at the start of the process in terms of doing all the creative stuff, the concepts for the ads, the storyboards. Then we hired the crew. We got the crew together. We shot the ad. Then we did all the post-production ourselves. We went and did all the media buying ourselves. And put it out on Sky TV. And we kind of came, we said to ourselves, there's something here. It's kind of a one-stop shop. So we've set up this company now, threelandsmedia.com. And we're trying to interest people who've always been interested in making a TV commercial, but mightn't have £250,000 to throw at us.
Yeah.
We're not doing it for £250,000. But what our service is offering is that we'll do everything in-house. Because normally when you do an ad, you get an agency who hire a production company, who hire a post-production company, who hire a media buyer. We'll do everything for you in-house. So that's keeping me going. And then I set up another company that we're going to do feature film documentaries. A genre which I know interests you.
It really does, because we did the same series of Who Do You Think You Are?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And I had
one of my favourite things I've ever done.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
What a journey.
Loved
you know?
It. Yeah.
I did a series called Chain Reactions for RT years ago. We did two seasons out and we ended up travelling the world. And just that whole genre of just the storytelling fascinates me.
I think the fun thing about programs, because I did No Frontier, a few of those dance
That's right. Yeah, yeah.
And then there was the Kennedy documentary with Mara Sereny. And what I loved about it was, apart from the travel and getting out of the Montrose, you know, bubble, as it were, was sharing a story with the viewer and looking at the camera saying, listen, you've got to see this. It's fabulous.
Well, that's exactly
fascinating. I really want to share it.
I did a series earlier on this year called The Tales of Irish Castles.
Yeah, loved it.
And it went down really well. And when I went to do that series, you know, I'm not a student of history, far from it.
Yeah, but you're interested in it, though.
But what I said to the producers was, I want to learn as I'm going along, and we'll take the viewer by the hand and we'll learn together.
Yeah,
and
brilliant.
That's what it came across as. So we've a couple of ideas in development with the Irish Film Board for feature film documentaries. One in particular, which is called Saints, Sinners and Sluggers. And the tagline of the movie is, how the Irish transformed America's national pastime, baseball.
Really? What a great idea.
You would never think it, but the link between Ireland and the major leagues goes back as far as the 1880s up to current day.
Great.
It's staggering.
Great.
We focus on seven particular men who left Ireland in, this is just after the famine now.
Yeah.
And literally founded what's now the major leagues. The seven incredible stories. We start off in County Cork, and we end up on the beaches of Iwo Jima.
Get away. So, so Cork, emigration, baseball, war.
Exactly. Exactly.
Death,
so
life,
you know, like everything else, it's not a base. It's not a documentary about baseball. It's a documentary about life.
Yeah.
But it's hung around the connection that Ireland has between the major leagues.
So, are you going to do that? Or are you proposing it?
It's in development. We were applying for funding, all that kind of stuff.
Great.
So hopefully we'll be able to go and shoot that next year.
What a great idea! And will you have a role in that in terms of production, or will you front it as well?
It'll
will
be
you
both. Yeah.
Both sides of the camera.
I'll produce it. I'll co-write it, and then I'll present it as well. But we're going to do it in the style of a movie, because we're going to do some very high stylized drama reconstructions of these guys, because the stories, Ryan, are the first on-field death in Major League Baseball involved an Irishman. The first case of performance enhancing drugs in the 1880s.
Really?
Involved an Irishman. The first match fixing scandal involved Irish players.
Shock.
The first woman to play in the major leagues, Irish. The stories are just incredible, and they're all out there. So we've been 6 months researching that, so that's something that we're
that sounds great. Really, really intriguing. And they have this, you know, when you go onto Netflix or Apple TV, the documentary genre is enormous. Oh. That's certainly opened my eye. I love good documentaries.
Absolutely.
I don't know if you saw Close to Evil, the Jerry Gregg one. You need to, the Irish, about the Irish guy, Tommy Reconstall, who was in Belsen, and he wanted to confront one of the females who was still alive, who was running the camp. It was on a couple of weeks ago. It's on The Player.
The stories are incredible.
They are incredible, and a good documentary, well told. And then it opens your eyes to, like, if your one gets made, which it sounds like it will, you want to know more. So it's really a gateway to other bits of history, and it makes history interesting.
But as you said, it's also instructing you as a viewer and educating you as a viewer of things that you never knew existed.
For example,
when we were researching this documentary, we ended up at Ireland's only purpose-built baseball facility. Did you know we had
there is one
in Clondalkin?
You're kidding me.
Called the O'Malley Field.
No.
which was built and paid for by Peter O'Malley, who owns the LA Dodgers.
I have no idea.
We have a Premier League in Ireland. The Irish national baseball team won the silver medal of the European Championships a couple of years ago.
I had no idea. It's a total subculture.
But this is what that's what I mean. It's Louis Theroux kind of esque. Absolutely. It's a subculture, but it's a culture that's huge. Most of the rosters of the Dublin baseball teams are made up of Puerto Ricans and Venezuelans.
Get away. Of course, who are the new Irish? Wow.
And it's their national sport.
And it's funny because my brother's married to a Colombian lady, and I went to, I was following Colombia for the World Cup, and we went into a pub to watch them play in Brazil that time in June. And it was a Friday night. I was like, yay, Friday night off. I was delighted for myself and the people of Colombia.
Of course,
But I went in and we watched the match, and it was all, you know, Gar's wife's Colombian friends and the Brazilians all together watching. I was like, what is this? Look at this. It is like mini Del Janeiro.
It's insane. But it's insane.
Brilliant. It was like a taste of, it was like a Brazil meets Colombia in the rain. And it was in the rain because it was in the beer garden and it was massive, but just lashing out.
But you say this is another subculture.
Really?
You know what I mean?
And they were all into it and dancing and happy and not getting locked. Yeah. You know the way that we do.
Yeah.
They were just having a couple of beers and enjoying.
They were having a night out.
Yeah.
As opposed to their last night out.
Ever. Yeah. Okay, we got to leave it there. Simon, it's been so good to talk to you. Catch up in the world.
Thanks, Ryan. Great
between
to be here.
Paperclips and fingernails.
And orange Lamborghinis and baseball.
Who knew? It's a little, about 17 minutes to 10 o'clock. Have a great old weekend and look forward to crossing paths as I always do. Thanks for being Simon Delaney live with us in the Chip Fan here to mark Cannonball Ireland, which is setting off today from the Point Village here in Dublin.